Ukraine puts 8.3 monitors in seized crypto. Under state management for the first time. Ukraine has placed confiscated cryptocurrency under direct state management for the first time, moving more than 8.3 million USDT seized from an alleged hacking ring into a wallet held by the state, according to Decrypt. The stablecoins were taken from a group accused of running a hacking operation, and rather than being liquidated or parked through an ad hoc arrangement, the funds now sit under a formal custody structure run by the state. The dollar figure is modest by the standards of large enforcement actions. The precedent is the part worth reading closely. Until now, governments that seized crypto tended to either auction it off quickly or hold it in arrangements that were never designed for digital assets. Ukraine moving to a defined state management model is a signal that confiscated crypto is being treated as a standing category of public asset, not a one-off windfall to be cashed out. A confiscated stash becomes a managed asset. The detail that matters is the handoff itself. Seized crypto has to go somewhere, and where it goes exposes a government to the same problems any custodian faces. Who controls the private keys, where they are stored, and what happens if those keys are lost or compromised? Moving 8.3 million USDT into a state-held wallet means Ukraine now carries that operational responsibility directly for an asset class that does not behave like cash in an evidence room or a property lot in an impound. Stablecoins add a second wrinkle. USDT is issued by a private company, Tether, which can freeze tokens at specific addresses. A government holding seized USDT is holding an asset whose ultimate controls sit partly with the issuer, not the state. That is a different risk profile from holding seized Bitcoin, where no third party can freeze a balance. The choice to manage rather than immediately convert leaves Ukraine exposed to issuer policy for as long as the funds stay in stablecoin form. Part of a wider 2026 pattern, Ukraine is not acting in isolation. Through 2026, several governments have been formalizing how they handle crypto they own or control. El Salvador's Bitcoin reserve ran into an IMF accounting reckoning over how the holdings appear on the national books. Russia cleared crypto for use in foreign trade, while ring-fencing how those funds can be cashed out domestically. Enforcement-driven seizures have grown too, with coordinated sanctions actions like the Prince Group crackdown targeting large illicit networks. The common thread is that crypto held by the state is moving from improvised handling toward defined policy. For a country at war, seized digital assets also represent a potential source of recoverable value, which raises the stakes on getting the custody arrangement right rather than leaving funds in limbo. Ukraine's move slots into that trend. A specific seizure, a deliberate decision to manage the asset, and an implicit acknowledgement that the old auction-it-fast reflex does not fit every case. The custody question is the same one users face. For anyone outside government, the interesting mirror is that a state now faces the exact trade-off individuals weigh every day. Holding crypto means choosing who controls the keys. Hand custody to a third party, and you accept counterparty risk, including the chance that balances get frozen, mismanaged, or lost in an insolvency. Hold the keys yourself, and the responsibility and the failure modes land entirely on you. That tension runs straight through how people spend crypto. Custodial card programs hold your balance for you, which is convenient but concentrates risk with the provider. Cards that spend from your own wallet keep the keys in your hands and remove the provider as a single point of failure. The fact that the funds in question are stablecoins sharpens the point. USDT is the most widely held spending asset in crypto, and its freeze-capable design is precisely what a self-custody user trades convenience against. For users in Ukraine specifically, where crypto adoption has stayed high through the war and diaspora flows are heavy, a clearer state stance on digital assets is more than a legal footnote. It shapes how confiscation, taxation, and eventual regulation are likely to treat ordinary holders, not just hacking rings.